This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 at the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury, and today, as usual, I'm joined in the studio by the terrible twosome of Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, the wonderful Richard Bradbury.
Oh, here we go, here we go. What's he
want? We had a terrible twosome.
And then, of course, just around the corner, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roux. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to be with you for the next few minutes, of course. We've got some news coming up involving Volkswagen, Anthony Loke, and some touring cars. This week, not in Gombak. And then we have a car review coming up a little bit later on, or rather a truck review, the Toyota Hilux 2.7, all coming up here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. But first, of course, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roux. Quick news then, Arif, what have we got?
I just wanted to talk about Volkswagen and the stuff they're going through. Obviously, we know that they've been going through this Dieselgate scandal in which they've probably paid like...
Allegedly,
20 billion US dollars or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently news has come out that they've gotten themselves into more trouble. According to some reports, they sold about 6,700 pre-production cars to the public since 2006. And these were test mules, which should have been scrapped. And Volkswagen didn't have any documents on them to prove that they were actually roadworthy.
Daniel, feedback on this for me, please.
I don't want to say anything because, you know, there is nothing positive to say about this. But anyway, please, Mr. Arif, continue.
The next small quick news thing is last week we were talking about the R&D government grant.
Yes.
That was
yes,
going on.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, we said it was for Proton and Perodua, but it's actually for the new national car project.
Right. Which we still haven't heard about. Yes.
Which we still haven't heard about. But... more details came up. Apparently, the sum is quote-unquote quite large, according to a deputy minister.
What does that even mean?
Quite large means...
my feet are quite large.
quite large means, you know, you're not worried because you're not a taxpayer.
Right, I see. I got it, got it.
Both of us.
Hey, I do pay tax. Don't start that rumor on it. Come on. Yeah.
Well, you know, the government says it's going to be used to attract the private sector, which... they'll use then to build a prototype, which is going to come next year.
Okay.
But, you know, they've always been talking about, like, how the government's not going to fund this and all of that stuff. But, oh, well, look what's happened.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, huh? It's like...
back to square one.
It's like we never expected that to happen, isn't it? All right, number two, Anthony Loke's bill gets passed in Parliament.
Minister of Transport wanted to make some amendments to the Road and Transport Act to get through three things. And I'm going to list them down. The first is that the traffic wardens... in the bill, it said that now 9 cities can appoint their own uniformed traffic wardens to deal with traffic. Two of them are in Kuala Lumpur, around us in the Klang Valley, PJ and Shah Alam. The rest
are... it's in your neighbourhood, Daniel.
Very close.
And the rest of them are outside of KL, Klang Valley. The next thing is probably the biggest news, one of the biggest news actually, is the government can finally... crack down on apparently 8 million abandoned cars that's sitting around in Malaysia everywhere.
Mostly outside of police stations, I've noticed.
Yep,
there probably. Are a lot, right?
A lot, yeah. But those are accident cars, those which they're waiting cars. For the insurance to sort them out. But the cars he's talking about is abandoned in most neighbourhoods and especially gated communities where repossessors can't come in.
That's how it works.
Okay,
I'm learning something.
Well, apparently this bill says that the JPJ will be empowered to deregister cars within a month of notice. I think we spoke about this a couple of months ago Anthony Loke wanted to reduce this deregistration time from about 12 months to 1 month. So hopefully all of these cars will be gone.
What are they going to do with them?
Well, I think the best solution is to make them into spare parts.
Okay.
Turn them into spare parts. And the money goes back into the community, you know, for parks and orphanages or hospitals or, you know, clinic kesehatans and all that. I mean...
how much money can you get from spare parts?
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot.
From 8 million cars? Well, from 8 million cars.
Don't talk about 8 million cars. You just talk about a car. You can get at least 1,000 to 2,000 ringgit if the car is you know, not moving. Mm. But if the car can be started, you know, seats, windscreens, lamps, engine parts, wheels, brake systems, a lot of stuff you can get, panels, everything.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right.
Well, the third thing that caught my eye, actually, and
of course it did,
was the fact that you can now pay the government to have illegal tint.
That is
and
great.
And I...
Wait, what?
Not illegal tint. What it means is when you
have dark tint,
yes.
Yeah.
So you can have the same tint as the...
VIPs.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
The ones with all the Velfires and Alphards.
Right.
So if you want to have all these dark tints, you can pay the government some money. It's kind of like paying your summon anyway.
Exactly.
But, then how do you prove, like, if you were to be pulled over by the police? Because
well, there's a certain limit to how dark you can go.
I know that.
Like, I'm born like this. But, you know, with a lot of these cars, you can go a certain
I know that. But if you've paid the government, or whomever, to have your car super dark, and you get pulled over by the police because it's super dark, how do you prove to them that you've paid somebody?
You must have something in your dashboard to show them.
That's what I'm thinking. Right?
Probably a certificate of something.
But if they're going to keep pulling you over, you need, like, a little sticker on the back saying no.
I'm sure
legal tinted.
No, they'll probably give you a little document which you just keep in your glove box, you know. And the problem is most cars today have very small glove boxes.
But this is going to be the problem, right? Police are not going to want to start pulling people over because it's going to be like a bit of a Russian roulette, isn't it?
Yep. So I mean, if you don't want to pay, you just don't tint your cars dark.
Yes.
And I mean, then what's the whole point with all of these window tinting regulations? I mean, what's the point, man?
Yeah, to start off with, they should, you know, not allow it. But, you know, to control it is so difficult because even at checkpoints, a lot of these people who have dark tints, you know, suddenly flash their VVIP cards at the cops. And the cops, you know, they're simple guys. They don't want to get into trouble. They said, oh, I know so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And say, okay, just jalan lah, you know. So this way, at least the government gets back some money because there will be a lot of people who are like, okay, listen, I'll pay whatever that fee is.
Right.
I'll pay it and get it over with.
Yeah.
And hopefully no police officers talk me at a roadblock.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to story number three?
So you know how everybody was shocked that Formula One went away. People were panicked, like, no more international race events over here.
Yes.
But there were some news reports that said that the Japan Super GT will be back at Sepang in 2020 for the first time since 2013. That's really exciting. But what I'm super excited about is the World Touring Car Cup, which will...
That's so much fun.
Yeah, it is really... It's probably one of my favorite racing series because it's... genuinely just regular cars on the road.
Exactly. Cars that you see on the road.
Yeah.
Souped up. Yes.
They go super fast. And they're just amazing, man. And I've watched touring cars since I was young, since the WTCC days.
Mm.
And I do have a little bit of a question, though, because, like, you know...
Well, here's the man who might be able to answer.
maybe.
It's funny, that.
Because I'm not sure that touring cars would do well in Sepang, because I feel like Sepang's such a huge track. And all the really good touring car races happen on, like, the tight, narrow streets.
True, but you know, a lot of these touring cars are also getting large.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm talking about sheer size. Take the Australian V8 supercar races. I love watching them.
Yeah.
And you get to watch them for free, you know, now on satellite TV. And you see these cars, you know, Holdens, Fords, Nissans, and they're all big cars. But they're really fast. They're almost as fast as F1 cars. Not quite there yet, but they're really fast. And I think on a track like Sepang, it'd be even more fun because of the amount of noise that these cars generate.
True, but I've always felt like, you know, small cars, small circuit, and, you know, touring cars, they're basically kissing each other all the time and bumping into each
other. Same,
feel like if it was maybe a smaller track, I don't know how big Batutiga was, but if, you know...
Batutiga would be too small. Batutiga was when the touring cars were there, the cars were like, you know, the old Ford Escorts, the Mini Coopers.
Fair
those
enough.
Are really tiny. Even now, the Myvi is too large for the Batutiga.
Well... I mean, these two pieces of news are pretty good. They'll be racing under the stars.
Mm.
They'll be using the brand new night lights at Sepang. But I also have another idea.
Oh, here we go.
I think I wanna see a Malaysian touring car racing series backed by Malaysian factories. You know,
so you probably could get that from the new Proton Geely partnership,
right?
Because they have the funds, they have the money, and they might even be prompted.
Mm-hmm.
To bring the Volvo wagons back.
It would make sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like BTCC.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking something along the lines of, you know, we saw the Myvi GT at the Klims, and it was stunning looking car. It looked really racy. And then Iris R3, the Proton Iris R3 has been racing the Endurance series. Then you have the Vios Gazoo, Toyota Vios Gazoo racing series as well. and the Jazz RS that nobody gets here. But imagine if all of them just lined up on a grid and just racing almost every month.
They might actually do that because, you know, Toyota Gazoo, by taking them from town to town, is not very cheap. But if the track has all these facilities ready with other teams also playing, Gazoo might actually say, listen, you know, let's do this at Sepang instead of doing it on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to grow the racing.
Exactly. Totally
Malaysia,
agree with
right?
you.
Hit it here first, ladies and gentlemen, here on Cruise Control. And this week, of course, with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. And of course, Mr. Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Right, let's get on to new cars. Locally, then, I'm surprised this is not in our car review this week. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd be hot on this and all over it, but no.
No, because...
Why?
Because it's been previewed too many times, and everybody has already tried it.
By the way, we are talking about the Proton X70, which was launched on Thursday night.
With official prices.
Yes. With official prices.
You were very fast on your Instagram, though.
Yes.
I'm like, there it is. There's the prices. Official confirmed.
Yes, we don't waste time.
There you go.
So I think it comes in three variants. The standard variant is the cheapest. It starts at about 100,000 ringgit. And the most expensive one is the premium, and that starts at about 124,000 ringgit. The standard X70 just basically comes with your basic Proton amenities, stuff that you get in the current Supremas and all that stuff. But if you go all the way to the premium, you get the full flock. Driver assistance systems, Nappa leather seats, power front seats, and a sunroof, which is pretty cool. But, you know, I read an article on your website, dsf.my, where you said we shouldn't buy one yet.
No, I'm not saying we shouldn't buy one yet.
Oh, controversial.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You see, from 99,000 to 123,000, pricing, very good.
Yeah.
Feature packed, yes. I can see everyone just going and buying the top spec 123 800.
That's what they're hoping, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because why? It's no point, you know, if you go from 99,000 to 123,000, if you take a 7-year loan on a car, the difference is only a couple of hundred ringgit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you think about it, when you're driving your 99,000 X70 and then suddenly you see a 123,000 X70 going past with his sunroof open, he's talking to his dashboard. Hello, Proton, how are you? What's up? And, you know, he's nicely smoking in his, you know, Nappa leather and not worrying about ashes falling and burning the real leather. You'll be thinking, shouldn't I just paid a little bit more and then cut down on my artisan coffee, my daily artisan coffee?
I had too many avocado toast this
Yes,
week.
And just go with my 3-in-1. Right. Because why? There is just so much kit in the top spec. It makes the lower spec seem a little bit boring.
Right, yeah.
In fact, very boring.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the ones in between, again, the prices are so close, you might as well just pay for the top spec. Unless you purposely want a 4-wheel drive, then you pay 115. But then again, a lot of people think, I'm getting a 4-wheel drive for 115. Yeah. I'm getting the 2-wheel drive for 123.
Yeah.
So the pricing structure against the model lineup seems a little bit weird because everyone normally puts the all-wheel drive as a top spec. Then again, you look at these prices and say, very close to the Subaru Forester, you know, very close to the Hyundai Tucson.
I've noticed that the most premium spec is about 30,000 ringgit cheaper than the rest of maybe
the Japanese. The Japanese. Okay, 30,000 is, you know, suddenly that's a lot of money. From 120 to 150 is a lot of money. But from 99 to 123, there's a lot of options out there. I'm not saying ignore this car. This car is fully loaded at 123. I'm just saying from 99 to 123, the other three models I don't think are going to be well received.
Oh.
I personally don't think it's going to be well received. But we'll have to wait and see what the 10,000, you know, bookings, how the model mix works out, you know?
Well, I think people should probably wait out for the 1.5-litre turbo and the Proton-designed X70.
But that's
just
too far away.
That's
too far away. At least a year away.
Yeah.
I think the MPV and the car is coming before that.
Mm. Huh.
Really?
I'm quite sure the car and an MPV will come before that.
How sure, exactly?
Well, you know, lot of wonderful things have been done on Cruise Control.
A nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
A lot of wonderful things have been said on Cruise Control. You know it.
Speaking of SUVs and national cars, Produa just teased their SUV pretty aggressively.
Yes.
Just before Proton launched their X70. So there's going to be a huge competition there.
The timing. Right? Yep. Their timing.
Smart, huh?
Their SUVs. Basically a Toyota Rush.
Yes, it's a Toyota Rush. It'll probably not have, you know, all the goodies that the $123,000 X70 has. It'll probably have the same amount of goodies as the 99,000 Proton X70. So when you put it head on head, you'll say, should I go for reliable Toyota / Perdua / Daihatsu motoring? Or should I, you know, gamble a little bit more and go for Proton / Geely Motoring. Now, both have very good cases for them.
Yeah.
The only thing is, the Perdua will be much cheaper for sure. Much cheaper for sure. I'm predicting below 80,000 ringgit.
Oh, wow.
That's cheap.
And with that note, let's take a break. We'll be back after these messages, of course, with our car review here on Cruise Control. We've got the Toyota Hilux 2.7 coming up. That, of course, was the news with Mr. Arif Ruse here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. I've got Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and, of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. If you're only just tuning in, remember you can get the podcast of this show. It is available via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play, and of course we are on Spotify now as well. Or if you're old-fashioned like me, head over to bfm.my/podcast and download it from there. If you missed the news, we had stuff about Volkswagen getting in more trouble, Anthony Loke's bills getting passed in Parliament, touring cars in Sepang, and of course some local news of the car launch of the Proton X70. But we're moving on now to something over east. It is the launch of the Toyota Hilux 2.7. Daniel's got a review.
This was a little bit forgotten. Mm. This version of the Hilux came out a few years ago, and it was selling very well until the competition moved the game up a bit. And the Toyota Hilux has always been the king of the hill.
Right.
Like it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just saying to someone recently who wanted to buy a truck, and he says, you know, I want a truck that's tough. He's a contractor. He's actually going to go off-road. He's actually going to abuse a truck. And I said, think about this. Don't think of brand. Don't think of anything else. Just think about it. Every time you switch on the news, Al Jazeera or BBC or ABC or CNBC, any news, anything that's going on in the Middle East or South America, if there's a war or a bombing or anything, somewhere there you'll see a Hilux.
Always.
Yes.
Now it's either coming to rescue people,
yeah,
or it's starting the trouble.
Yes.
With some aircraft, anti-aircraft guns at the back.
Self-built.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, you look at these trucks and some of them are carrying like 40 refugees at the back, or you know, livestock and all that, and they're always a Toyota Hilux. Once in a while you might spot another brand. But 99% of the time, Hilux. So I said, this truck is tough. It's known for its toughness. Let's not beat around the bush. It's a truck for the worker.
Mm.
I said, go and get one. So he went and got one and everything else. And then after that, he got angry with me. He says, do you know there's a new one out there? I said, no, there's no new one out there. He said, no, there's a new one. I said, come on. This truck just came out. I failed to realize that they had facelifted the Hilux. My fault.
Oh dear.
My fault. So immediately I called the good people at Toyota. I said, listen, you got a facelift Hilux? They said, yeah, we sent you the press release. I said, yes, but you know, I overlooked it. Because it looked a lot like the previous Hilux, right, the current Hilux. They said, yes, but you know, we've done a lot of little touches to it. I said, well, eyesight problem. So then I got the Hilux, and then immediately, because when I picked it up, the older one was sitting there. When I say older one, I mean 1 year old. And then immediately you notice little differences. What they've done is that they're actually, I'll use the word, urbanize the Hilux. They've made it more family friendly. They've made it more upmarket. So they've done a little few things to it. But the biggest attribute, I would say, is the way the face now looks. You know, the bumper treatment, the little chrome insert around the fog lamps, the way the number plate holder now sits just below it, there's a little chrome piece. I mean, all this is really nice. The revised alloy wheels, the sidestep, and then the rear treatment of the kangaroo bar. All this is great, but then it's no longer looking tough.
Right. It's looking softer.
Softer, yes.
Yeah.
So then I told my friend, I said, you know, do you realize if you had this truck, it might not be able to do what you wanted to do, because he's really going severe off-roading with his Hilux, and he's never been, you know, worried about having to come back. It's always been very good. But with this truck, I said, I'm sure it can still do it, but it looks a little bit too soft, you know, with the sidestep, the bumpers and everything else. But then when I checked the departure and approach angles, they're exactly the same as the previous one. So even though they've redesigned the bumper treatment and all that, it still can go.
It's off-road. as tough.
Underneath, nothing has changed. So now we get on the inside. And on the inside, what they've done is they've made it look more like a car. You know, with the Optitron meters, the multifunction steering wheel, and then the leather everywhere, soft touch panels, they've padded the doors and everything else. So if you look at it, basically, from, you know, I've got one view of the cabin, you know, one view of the cabin there. And if you look at it, if I didn't tell you that's a truck, you'll probably think, no, that's some Toyota sedan.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
And I think that's the look they've been going for. Can you see the little blue lighting around the cabin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's during the day you can still see it, but at the night it's even better. So all this comes back down to making the cabin experience more like a passenger car. So we took it out for a test drive. And, you know, trucks tend to be a little bouncy.
Yeah.
Not as bouncy on the tarmac. We actually took it on the highway. And from the pictures, you can see that I've actually taken it a little bit of off-road, you know, a little bit into the jungle. Not severe jungle, city jungle.
It's just grass, Daniel.
It's just grass. It's grass. But, you know, I'm climbing a little hill, and there's some, you know, some electricity pylons there.
This could be in TTDI or something, you know.
No.
It looks like an abandoned car park.
No, it's not an abandoned car park. My God, there's actual jungle behind there, you know. You know, there's animals.
And they were
coming at me. Anyway, so I took it off, and it was pretty decent. And what I loved about this Hilux is it's... You know, you come with the impression of it being really tough and rugged. And yet, you know, you can drive it to Concord Hotel and give it to the car jockey and say, you know, park it right in front. Because it's quite attractive. It's red in color. It's got all the right trims on it.
How many colors does it come in? Just, you know.
To be honest, I didn't check.
Just overlooked it. Overlooked
I just
it.
Overlooked it.
Right, okay.
But, you know, because, you know, we don't re-record the show, so I'm happy to say that I overlooked it. But I'm sure it comes in white.
And black.
And black.
Or midnight blue or something.
Silver.
Silver, okay.
And red, like you see in the pictures.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
All right.
So, pretty decent truck. Of course, the competition is really hard on its heels right now. You got the new Mitsubishi Triton just launched. Mm. And, of course, Ford is not giving it any chances. Mm. But the king of the hill is still the Toyota Hilux.
You know, I remember years ago, a friend of mine, his father was on a farm. He grew up on a farm. And when everybody else was passing their driving tests, right. You know, he was the one that was like, I'm going to get a truck. And we were like, why would you buy a truck? And he came out with the Toyota Hilux.
Great.
This thing was built like a tank back then. And, you know, the turning circle on it was about as big as these offices.
Yes.
It took forever. No power steering, nothing. But it never broke down.
Never.
I mean, loved them.
I mean, if you watch the earlier seasons of Top Gear...
Done a lot of damage to Toyota Hiluxes.
They set it on fire. They put a piano on it.
They drove it into the sea?
Yeah. Wow. And it still survived.
Yes.
So, okay. So, it looks nice. The inside looks like you say, like a sedan. What do you like about it?
Okay. The thing I like about it is, you know, if I'm actually like my friend who uses it in the city and also uses it outside the city, I mean, really outside the city...
Yeah.
This is where the Hilux really comes across as value for money, because you know that, you know, you can be driving for a meeting. Say now you're a landscaper, for example, and you're driving to a meeting to a 5-star office in center of Bukit Bintang. You know you can arrive with a little bit of style because you've got a Hilux. It's red. It's got all these nice chrome bits on it. You know, you don't look like some weedy little gardener coming along, you know. And then you go for your meeting. You dust your boots. And then end of the meeting, you get into your Hilux and you say, I got to go to the work site. And you know this truck will take you there.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go home or go back to your office and change vehicles. Okay, yes. Maybe, you know, going to a 5-star office would be better if you drove a Pointed Star or a BMW. But end of the day, there's nothing wrong in driving up in something like this. And a lot of people have started realizing that the pickup truck is no longer a workman's vehicle because they've added all these things in it. And as a driver, when you get into something like this, you feel, okay, I'm not sitting in some dowdy vehicle.
Yeah.
I've got the ambient lighting. I've got the multifunction steering wheel. I've got the really decent stereo with 6 speakers. I can, you know, connect my phone, Apple, Android, everything, all done. Plus, I've got electric seats, leather. You know, I'm not lowering my self-esteem standard by driving a lesser-known vehicle.
And you feel safer because you're higher.
You're higher.
Yeah.
You know, and also, end of the day, when you want to sell this, you can always sell it to a Hilux.
And how much is it going for?
Okay, this model, as tested with all the bells, all the whistles, all the Christmas decorations, including the Christmas tree, 133,900 ringgit. I have to qualify myself. The Christmas tree is not free.
Right. You probably have to go find that yourself too.
Yes, but you can carry a Christmas tree at the back.
I love it. I love the way it looks. I love the little chrome touches on it. I do love a good-looking truck, and this is a good-looking truck.
Yes.
Right, let's go through the 8-point inspection. Ari, if you can help me out on this, I'll give you 5 to 8, right?
Sure.
So, number one, who's the car for?
I would say a car... This is particularly suited for someone who is a businessman who needs to really go off-road, not the urban cowboy. Not for someone like you who's just coming to a radio station and, you know, just being a pretty voice on the on air, you know? Someone who's really working, you know, sweating, you know?
I can switch your mic.
You know? Someone like that.
All right, all right. Number two, who are its competitors? You know, we've thrown a few of them. And how does it compare to them, do you think?
Okay, for toughness, sorry lah. Hilux lah, nombor satu lah.
All right.
Okay, in terms of cabin refinement and comfort, I think the Ford Ranger is very, very close. In fact, I think they're both fighting for that number one spot. I don't know about the Triton yet because I've not taken it out, but these two are head on head lah in terms of cabin comfort. For cabin connectivity, the Ford Ranger is above.
All right.
With that Sync 3.
What stands out about it then?
I would say the fact that I get into this cabin and I'm thinking to myself, am I really in a truck? They've done so well with the cabin. You know, like rear aircon vents, the way it looks, the way it's positioned. If I'm sitting at the back, I actually even think I'm in a passenger car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then question number four, how does it drive compared to the Ford Ranger?
The Ranger drives better on road, but this is better off road. So again, 50-50, you know, one is slightly better here, one is slightly better there. So it's a tough call between the both.
What might annoy you about this truck?
Okay. The thing that annoys me about this truck is they've made it too beautiful.
Huh. Why is that a bad
because
thing?
Because I liked it.
You don't want to get it dirty.
Yes, yes. You said it right. You know, it looks too pretty.
Right.
You know, especially you look at the picture, the nose. They've made it too pretty. Right. I mean, I can understand. It attracts people. But I preferred it earlier when it looked really rough and rugged. Because I think if you want to buy a truck, you want a rough and rugged truck. If you wanted something pretty, you'll go and buy a Toyota Camry.
Right, yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, well, you mentioned that this comes with all of the bells and whistles,
exactly.
Right?
And a Christmas tree. Yes.
So, I mean, what does it have?
I tell you what it doesn't have, a sunroof. It's got everything else.
So it's extremely well equipped.
Very well
charging
equipped.
Charging and all that stuff.
Everything got bottle holders, aircon vents, airbags, everything.
So in the grand scheme of things, how is this truck priced?
Okay, at $133,000, it's actually cheaper than the Ford Ranger Wildtrak. So, you know, that price difference of about $14,000, $15,000 actually makes a difference for people in the working environment when they're using this as a workhorse. Because why? They'll actually calculate. You know, it's not like someone who's buying a passenger car.
Yeah.
For them, you know, it's a lot of it is like, you know, the appeal, the factor, the neighbors, my colleagues, what did they say? But this one is a workhorse. I need something purposeful. So that price difference, I think, has it in its favor.
All right.
Final question. Personally, would you consider this over the others?
In my present position, no. I will actually go for something softer. Because why? I'm not going to go off-road. I don't need a hardcore truck. I don't need to go into my farm because I've got farm workers to do it. You know? So, and anyway, when I visit my farm, I go by helicopter.
Putting you on the line then, which one would you go for out of the whole truck line?
I'm still drawn to the Ford Ranger.
For the looks and
for
how
the
it
looks
rides.
And the fact that they have a 2-wheel drive automatic.
That
because I don't need the 4-wheel drive.
Right, okay.
That we reviewed.
Yep. Okay, that was, of course, then the review of the Toyota Hilux 2.7 here on Cruise Control. If you miss any part of the show, we had some news. It was all about Volkswagen getting into more trouble. The R&D government grant that we spoke a little bit about. Then Anthony Loke's bill getting passed in Parliament for traffic wardens tackling abandoned cars. Tinting of windows. Then we spoke about touring cars in Sepang, wrapped up with car launches. Of course, the local was the Proton X70. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget to head over to our website, bfm.my/podcasts. And if you want to head over to dsf.my as well for more car reviews and glossy, shiny photographs It's all over there on dsf.my.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And of course, we do have an Instagram page, do we not, Arif?
Yes, we do, at BFM Cruise Control. I'll post a photograph of this Toyota Hilux in the jungle.
Okay.
And you tell me whether that's in the jungle or not.
Yeah. See if you can spot the location.
Spot the location.
Indeed, indeed. You might win yourselves a little prize.
A BFM prize?
A cup of tea or something.
All know. Right.
Maybe, maybe. This, of course, has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.